The Oldie Lunch Recordings presents Nicholas Parsons talking about Welcome to Just a Minute, a celebration of Britain's best-loved radio comedy. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Welcome all, welcome all. Welcome to this Donald Trump benefit. My name's Barry Cryer, in case any of you were looking, thinking that Brad Pitt's let himself go. But it's I'm a sort of practising catalyst today. I have to introduce our authors. But we have a ritual, if you'll bear with me, before, if we can have your indulgence, authors, we have the parrot joke. Anybody in this audience who knows it, if you feel like joining in, please don't. The parrot joke. Woman went into a shop, saw this beautiful blue and gold parrot, and she said to the man, "He's gorgeous." "How much?" He said, £20. She said, £20? He's beautiful." He said, "Well, I've got to be honest with you, he's got a bit of form, a bit of history. He was in a brothel, and he has quite an extensive vocabulary." And she said, £20, I'll take a chance on that." And she took the parrot back to her flat, took the cover off the cage, and the parrot looked round and said, "New place, very nice." And her two daughters walked in, and the parrot said, "New place, new girls, very nice indeed." And her husband walked in, and the parrot said, "Hello, Keith." Now, enough. Our first speaker, I wrote this while waiting for a laugh in Lowestoft, and it's just for him. Our speaker's not a legend, he is real. His incredibly constant comic appeal has become part of radio tradition. His career devoid of hesitation, deviation, or repetition. His anecdotes must be infinite. We hope he doesn't speak for just a minute. Lay out your funny bones. He will tickle us. Let us welcome Parsons. Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Well, it's a great joy to be here. And thank you very much, Barry, for that amazing introduction. And the joke as well. I haven't heard that one before. I must say, it is wonderful to be here. Until I arrived, you know, I was beginning to feel my age. I felt rather old. But looking around today, I feel young again. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here. And, of course, I've come here to promote a book. Some of you may have... In fact, I think a lot of you have bought it because I'm sold out. They get you some more in if you're interested. I don't have time to sign them. And it is about Just a Minute, which Barry mentioned. And I'm going to try and speak without hesitation, repetition, or deviation for more than just a minute, but not too long, because I know that you can. Your boredom threshold is limited. But the thing is, it's an incredible show. And I've been doing it now for 49 years. In fact, we celebrate the 50th anniversary in December of this year. I didn't want the job. I mean, there's all these... Why do you laugh? That's not funny. No, I didn't think I was right for it. I mean, this is, I think, one of those sort of charming or show business anecdotes, which are always very interesting. The original person who was going to introduce it was Jimmy Edwards, which actually was a very good choice, because Jimmy at the time had a program on the radio called Does the Team Think? And he had a lot of very funny comedians all talking, you see. And it was a good choice. And we had a young producer down from Cambridge. It was his very first job, David Hatch. In fact, would you answer that? It could be for my major. And it was probably for Barry, telling me another joke. Anyway, where were we before I was so delightfully interrupted? I remember, I think I was doing cabaret when it went off. I used to say, "Would you answer that? It could be the telephone." And you know, it never got a laugh. And it's hitting today as well. So there. So where we are. So we're playing producer. And this young producer, David Hatch, came to me and said, Nicholas, we're never going to get Jimmy on the Saturday when you record the pilot. For those of you who don't know, in radio and television, you make a pilot show that's presented to the powers that be, and if they like it, they commission the series. And so he said, will you do me a favour and do the chairmanship for the pilot? And I said, David, no, I can't. It's not right. It's not my sort of job. And because I'm going to be on the panel. He said, I'll do a deal with you. You do the pilot for me. Derek Nimmo's free. We'll put him on the panel. And if we get a series, I'll put you back on the panel. Right, OK. Well, we did this pilot. It was an absolute bloody disaster. And this is the amazing thing about show business. It really was terrible. Ian Messiter created the idea. It was a wonderful idea. But he'd overloaded it. He'd over-egged it, as we say. I mean, we had rounds where you couldn't use plurals. And it's a fiendishly difficult game anyway. Another round where you couldn't use plurals. Another one where you couldn't use a definitive article. Another one where you couldn't use pronouns. And so it was all itty-bitty, and it failed. It was a disaster. But David Hatch was a very clever young man. He saw the potential. And he fought for it. And he actually put his job on the line. And then he came to me and said, Dave, Nicholas, I've had to fight to get this series. But the only one thing they quite liked about the pilot was your chairmanship. I said, but David, I was awful. He said, I know, but so was everybody else. So when you get a job in our profession, which is going to be for 13 weeks, you do find a way to make it work for you and for the show, because you know you like to be working. And I think I must have done something right, because I'm still doing that same job after 49 years. And you know what? You already clapped that. You need to do it again now. And it did struggle. But he brought in Kenneth Williams. Now, Kenneth was amazing in the show. Very difficult to handle, quite outrageous, and we never knew what he was going to say next. But he did love it, because it gave him an opportunity, because he was a self-educated chap, came from a very humble background. His father was a barber in Marchmont Street in King's Cross. I knew him quite well then. And he was self-educated, and he found just a minute an opportunity to show off his knowledge and erudition. So he loved it. And Ian Messiter would often give him special subjects so he could do this. And like once came, he gave him Aphrodite. And of course, he then preened himself. He always sat the same chair. Oh, he was very superstitious. Had to be in the same chair. And he sort of preened himself because he was going to show everybody what he knew about Aphrodite. And he hesitated almost immediately. It was challenged. And then he'd go into a sock because he wanted to have the subject. And I then had to be a bit of a psychologist and try to twist a challenge to get him back in. Then nobody else wanted the subject. They didn't know anything about it. And eventually you get him back in, and then he'd go. It was amazing. The book is full, not just stories like that, but other wonderful stories with the wonderful people. And it's a cast of thousands. And we're flattered that all kinds of very distinguished people love coming on our programme. And Paul Merton summed it up for me once. He said, Graham Norton. He said, it's so easy, isn't it? You don't have to do any preparation. You just arrive, and you try and be funny. And this is it. There's no hard work, and we don't edit, because you can't on that film. We can edit on the gagging in between. Where was I? I've forgotten now. I was entertaining an anecdote. The thing is that they all used to make fun. A part of the fun of the show, and I believe the essence of its success, is having fun. And I feel I'm in the position of a sort of orchestra. I orchestrate it to try and generate fun, and we all ad-lib and pull each other's legs. And one of the things that has evolved, it seems that the more you can be facetious to the chairman, the more you will succeed. And Paul Merton is the most outrageous, but to begin with, it was Derek Nimmo. And Derek always used to make jokes about my age. And I was the same age as the other three, because we had four regulars then, Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Paul, and Clement. Yeah, thank you very much, Clement Freud. And one occasion, Derek said, I have to tell you, he said, Nicholas is a lot older than he looks. And to show you how old he is, he actually hasn't been intimate with a woman for many years. And the last one was a suffragette. And Peter Jones came straight in with, yes, and that was only because she was tied to the railings at the time. another occasion, Kenneth Williams, who was always an outrageous. In fact, Kenneth was amazing because they all used to make jokes at my expense, but Kenneth, actually, if you ever listen closely to the show, the only one who ever paid me compliments. And on one occasion, he suddenly said, no, I think they're very unkind to you. I think you're a lovely chairman. And he said, I don't think you look 65. And Peter Jones came straight in with, yes, I know, but he did when he was 65. So now that particular mantle was passed to Paul Merton, who is a very good friend, and he knows that he can pull my leg. And if you've got a sense of humour, you have to laugh at yourself. I mean, Paul Merton once was writing a note, and I said, Paul, what are you writing? And he said, it's a suicide note. All you have to do is sign it before the show's over. Another occasion, he said, was the day I was getting on, and he said, Nicholas, I understand that you're going up to the palace tomorrow. And I said, yes, I was rather flattered to hear that. I didn't know they were still looking for cleaners. Another occasion, he said, by the way, Nicholas, you left your coffee cup under my bed last night. I said, well, I'm sure you finished the coffee, Paul. He said, no, I couldn't. It had your teeth in it. And so this is how we go on. And the show has prospered. It's gone from strength to strength. And it's still, I think it's even funnier now than it was. We have refined it to some extent. I mean, you cannot actually, if you do a job, rest on your laurels. You have to find little ways to tweak it, improve it, polish it, and move it forward. And I've introduced little gimmicks that have actually extended it. For instance, I give away bonus points on the basis that if someone challenges, you know, they can, if it might be ridiculous, but if it's funny and gets a laugh, you get a bonus point. All kinds of little things. And it has prospered. It's gone forward. And we're still doing it. And the 50th anniversary is coming up. When should I sit down, Daddy?
You carry on.
No, I can't carry on. There's other very talented people are going to talk.
Carry on for a minute.
A minute. For just a minute.
Starting now.
Right. And no, it's been a joy to be with it. And it's a joy to do it. And we go up to Edinburgh every year, and we do two up there. And we're starting again a new series quite soon. We've got recordings in London on the 27th of April and the 20th of April and the 4th of May. You'll have to get on my guest list if you want a ticket, because it's so booked out. And what else can I say about it? And they're getting some more books in. I don't know when I'm going to have time to sign them, but I was very flattered that they were sold out. And I'm very flattered to be associated with this amazing show. I'm very grateful to the ambassador who created the idea. Deeply indebted to darling David Hatch, to whom I have dedicated the book, because without him and his foresight in seeing the potential and fighting with the powers that be to get a series, we would not be here now. So David, we are indebted to. Indebted to the Oldie. I love the Oldie. I've been here before. And there's a wonderful magazine. It's not old in its content. It's just old in its emotion. And it's lovely being here and looking at all these lovely places. Eager, expectant, exciting. There's still some copies of the book out there if you want it. Thank you very much for listening to me. Great pleasure. Thank you.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.